Hi there, welcome to Talk Canicross. I'm Janetta George.
And I'm Gail Walker. We're here today to talk all things Canicross, the fun way to get fit with your dog.
So each month we'll be joined by a special guest or two. We'll hear from professionals, regular Canicrossers, and also dog and human experts in their field. It will be real people and real stories.
So we hope you'll join us, whether it's for training tips, dog talk, or just for fun and encouragement. This is Talk Canicross, brought to you by DogFit. And don't forget to hit subscribe and keep in touch with all things Canicross.
We're delighted to have Daisy Hickman on the show today, and she's one of our DogFit ambassadors. For 10 years, Daisy dedicated herself to long-distance trails and club running events. However, 6 years ago, she began experiencing debilitating panic attacks during her runs. So they followed numerous medical tests, and she was eventually diagnosed with something called exercise-induced panic attacks, and the pleasures of running seemed completely lost. However, enter Pepper, who came as a puppy, and when she was old enough, gave Daisy the confidence to start running again. How great is that? And as well as being great company, Pepper became Daisy's anxiety antidote. The connection that they shared on the trails made Daisy feel less alone and provided a distraction from anxiety and a sense of being looked after. That's the beauty of Canicross, isn't it? So firstly, a big welcome to Daisy, and thank you for coming on the show to share your story.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, it's lovely to have you on, Daisy. And I just want to say, before we get started with the questions, that, you know, I just want to acknowledge how brave you are coming on and doing this for us. And I think a lot of people will get a lot from this, listening to our podcast and watching it. And but yeah, I just want to say a heartfelt thank you for coming along and being prepared to be so open and honest about everything, and telling and sharing your story. So so I think before we go into all that detail, it would be really good to just hear about, maybe go back to your early days when you sort of started getting into running, and how that came about, really.
Yeah, well, thank you both so much for having me on the show. I'm obviously a massive fan of the podcast itself. I think I've listened to them all now. And it's a real privilege to be on here to talk about this, because it's something that's affected me for now a number of years of my life. And if there's even one little bit of knowledge in this that I can get out to anybody that helps them, even in the slightest, then that would be absolutely fantastic. Yeah. So just like, yeah, going back to the start of running, really, I've always been quite a sporty person. I've always been really, really outdoorsy. I was climbing up Snowdon when I was 8 years old as part of the school sort of adventure club. I was always in sort of like the school sports, representing the school. Always outside climbing trees with my brother. So I've always been really, really outdoorsy. And I think probably like with that inbuilt, and then I think I can probably pinpoint the point where I first started running properly and where this all stemmed from. And that was an adventure race, and it was an equestrian cross-country course on a stately home. It was sort of like a bit of a fun run, and it started off it was actually my parents, can you believe it? My mum and my dad got me involved. They were like, come on, come down and have a go at it. And it involved jumping out, leaping, clambering over these horse jumps, running through water, jumping over these logs, going under things, going around things, trying my best. And I absolutely loved it, but I can tell you, for 3 to 4 days after that, I could not move. It made me realize how physically unfit I was. I mean, this is probably going back 2009, I'd say, so it's going back quite a long way. And then I think that was what really sparked my interest. I really thought, you know, I need to sort myself out, I need to get fit. So I then started doing some more adventure races. I also was running mainly by myself. I then started going off and doing trail runs, but all on my own. And then I joined a running club and became a club runner, which I thoroughly enjoyed, and it really got that competitive spirit for me. And this is probably back in 2010, I'd say, something around that. I started representing the club in various events. I did a half marathon in 2012. That was my first half marathon. And then in 2014, I did my debut marathon. And I actually did really, really well in it. It was a multi-terrain, very, very hilly marathon called the Broadway Marathon. you ever want to do it, you can do it. Unfortunately, they don't take dogs yet. I am working on that. but I came second female in that, and I broke the record from the previous year. And for a debut marathon, I was just like on such a, like they call the runner's high, don't they?
Yeah.
And really after that, that was when it all started to go downhill. And that was 2014, in the winter of 2014, started to go downhill. And to be honest with you, that's when the anxiety started to get the better of me.
Yeah. In fact, I was going to ask that. I mean, obviously, it sounds like you were having an amazing fun time and challenging yourselves and running with other people as well. So could you describe what happened in those anxiety attacks?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, they're obviously people are quite aware of like what anxiety is and what it can feel like, and that sort of pit of your stomach. That I never really got any of that, which is really weird. It was almost like the panic attacks came out of absolutely nowhere. I think it probably was after that marathon performance that I then set myself these incredible sort of like plans. I was like, right, I'm coming back next year. I'm going to do it again. I'm going to come first. I'm going to break my record from last year. I'm you know, and unconsciously I was suddenly placing all this pressure on myself. And I, you know, hindsight's a wonderful thing, isn't it? You know, this is nearly a decade ago, and I'm starting to, I've done a lot of self-reflection in that time and a lot of like, what went wrong sort of thing. And I think it was really a big fear of failure as well. All to do with myself. I was good at something. And then suddenly I was like, oh my God, I'm actually really good at something. But actually now I've got to deliver. And how am I going to do that? So I sorted myself out a structured training plan for the next year. I was, you know, got everything all sorted. I got a race. I got a half marathon, which again was a trail run in the middle of the summer. It was June 2015. That was my first proper race in ready for the marathon, which was in November that year. And that was where I had my first full-blown panic attack. And I remember it was at mile 10. And it was a really warm day. It was quite windy. I was in a good place. And then suddenly I remember just turning up the strip and of field and running up it. And suddenly I was completely immobilized by my breathing. I couldn't breathe. I felt like I was breathing through a straw. That's how I like described it.
Yeah.
Massive amount of tightness around my neck. All my fingers, all my limbs went tingly. I was just stopped in my tracks. I was sick. I felt sick. I was all sweaty. My heart rate was sky high. And I thought something's seriously wrong. And I remember walking the last 3 miles home back to the finish line, walking across that finish line and just going to my car and just crying my eyes out and going, there's something wrong. And so that's sort of like how it sort of started. And then I was really confused by all of that. I was really worried. And then I kind of looked at that as a one-off, went to the doctors about it. They with shortness of breath symptoms, did all of that. And they sort of said, well, look, just maybe you're overdoing it a bit. So, just bring it back a bit. I didn't have another one. And then I did the Broadway marathon when I was all ready to go, did my Broadway marathon. Was feeling really good. Got to mile 12, was still feeling quite good. It was quite windy, it was cold. And then I knew for the next 5 miles, I knew it was pretty much uphill, sort of 1500 foot of ascent. And I knew it was going to be tough. I got to mile 17, which was the sort of the pit stop bit. And I just had another massive panic attack again, and I couldn't catch my breath. I felt sick. Fortunately, there was like some ambulance crew people there, medics, and they didn't help really. They did help, but they didn't. They felt like they didn't help. They did a pulse oximeter test on my finger. And literally my sats were like 84%, and I was like, they were like, something's wrong, something's wrong. Of course, that made it worse.
Yeah.
What I didn't know is because I'd got poor circulation in my fingers that it wasn't getting a good reading. But and that was my first did not finish DNF I had, and I pulled out at that point, and I knew that there was some, well, felt like there was something severely wrong with me.
Yeah, I mean, it's I guess the strange thing is it was mid-run. It's not like it was before you ran. That would be a really strange thing to happen to anybody.
Yeah, absolutely.
So at this point, the doctors hadn't diagnosed it at that point. Well, this has happened again. I'm really concerned.
Yeah.
So you've been to see the doctors before, but they were just saying, take it easy. They thought maybe it was just, you know, exerting yourself or something.
Yeah. And I think that's probably where the next part sort of comes in. Sorry, I don't know if you wanted to ask the other question, if you wanted to, or but I was just going to go through some of the tests that I had.
I think it would be really good to get a bit of understanding of how you went from having those symptoms to actually finding out what it was and you know, what might have caused it and how you addressed them as well. Because the whole coping strategy piece, which I think once you identify what it is and how you manage that, because I think people find that very interesting. Yeah. They can, if they're relating to this.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think, and this applies, even dealing with the panic attacks applies to anxiety as well, even sort of pre-race anxiety or anything really. I mean, I've suffered with anxiety quite a lot of my life anyway. I'd had my first panic attack by the time I was probably 10 years old. But I thought I'd got rid of it by then. And I didn't really have one again until this running, until I sort of this mid-run panic attack. So I'd obviously gone to the doctors the first time. They told me to sort of take it easy a little bit. They did a few tests. They did a few blood tests. They did some tests for anemia. I think I was slightly anemic at the time, so they gave me some iron. I thought maybe that was the reason why, and that didn't energy. Help. Yeah. So it was initially went to the doctors with like shortness of breath symptoms. But then I was so sure I got some kind of like asthma or allergy. They did a load of asthma tests for me. They did allergy tests for cat and dog dander and stuff like that. And they even considered something called vocal cord dysfunction, which is where your vocal cord literally it sort of goes into spasm. I had an ECG, and it was at that point things got really serious because I had an ECG at the doctor's, and something came up that it looked like I'd had some kind of cardiac infarction. So some kind of, well, pretty much they said sort of almost like a heart attack. And of course, then I was like, that's what the ECG said. And the doctor referred me to the local, the main hospital in Oxford, in the JR, to a cardiologist who gave me, fortunately I was referred really quickly. They told me not to run, and the cardiologist basically said he did every single test on me, and he said, you're absolutely fine. It's just something that happens with endurance runners where you have something called athlete's heart, where you one side of your heart muscle is quite a lot bigger, so it can make the ECG look like something's happened to you.
Yeah.
So I was given the all clear by the cardiologist. And then I spent probably, I mean, all of this makes it sound like it all happened within about 6 months. It wasn't. This is probably 2 years worth. Yeah. So at this point, I completely stopped running. I was cycling. I was commuting into work a little bit on my bike. And I think really the main thing with all of that was that I just put myself under such tremendous pressure. My body was screaming at me to slow down and to stop. And with other stresses that were going on in my life, I was going through quite an emotionally abusive relationship at the time. That wasn't helping. And so it was really, I think it was all of that, all together that caused that. And I, to this day, I mean, I'll go into this, but to this day, I still don't know whether I've actually cured it. I don't think I have cured it. And I think I will always live with this, but it's about those techniques to deal with it.
Well, I guess it was a really worrying time because, you know, a lot of us use running and canny crossing as a way of being your stress relief. You know, you always feel so much better when you come back to suddenly have that taken away because you're then fearful it's going to happen again. It must have been a really worrying time for you.
Yeah, it absolutely was. And I think there was a lot of, I say it was, of course, really worrying. I was told not to run. I was constantly searching for lots of different reasons for why I was feeling like this, but not once did I ever think to myself that it was a panic attack. I didn't realise. And eventually, after the cardiologist had spoken to me, and he told me that he thought that I was overtraining and that this sounded more like a panic-induced an exercise-induced panic attack. And I was referred as well to have some CBT and some talking therapy. And also I was given some really, really good information about how, like, that mindfulness and how to do sort of mindfulness and relaxation techniques, but not whilst running. So it was all, this was all happening whilst I was obviously just, but a lot of those techniques I have actually taken and used within my running, but that's only been something quite recent.
Do you use those techniques in your everyday life? Because you said that the exercise induced panic attacks were potentially linked to other things going on in your life at the time. So have you found those coping mechanisms quite helpful in every element of your life, not just the exercise piece?
I think so. I'm in a very different place now, which is a better place. I've done a lot of self-reflection as well over the years, and just sort of trying to, I think also having a consistency for me, having a reliable job, having a reliable relationship, having Pepper, all of that has been a really massive big help for me, so that less of that unpredictability and that unknown. I think that was the fear, and also realizing that actually in the last however many years, 6 years, I've actually been okay without running. I'm loving getting back to running, but I was okay without it. I felt like it was quite an identifier for me. I was Daisy the runner. That was what I did. Everyone at work knew me as Daisy the runner. And I have a bit more to me than that now, and not just that. I think I'm always going to have to keep in touch with myself just to make sure that I'm not going that little bit beyond and sort of obsessing over races, over race experience, over heart rates, over, you know, over how many, what my cadence is, over, you know, all of that. The Canicross really helps with that.
Yeah. And as you've just mentioned, Pepper, enter Pepper into your life. You know, what made you get the decision to have a dog, and how did you discover Canicross? How did that suddenly appear in your life?
So Pepper was actually just, we got her as a puppy. She's now 3 years old. She's obviously a border collie. I love border collies. My gran had one, and I think I just really, really wanted one. I was quite, like I said, into the outdoors. My husband and I love walking, so we wanted a dog that was going to be a great walker, you know, have loads of energy. Very athletic. And funny enough, you know, asking about the Canicross, I knew of it. But it was actually Pepper almost that introduced me to Canicross. in a kind of uncheesy way. I used to go out walking with her at lunch just to give myself a bit of a revive because I work from home. And this is probably when she was probably only 2 years old. And I wouldn't wear a full harness, but I'd have a lead that I would around my waist in like a bag thing, and she used to just start trotting off, and I thought, you know what, Pepper wants a little bit of run, so I used to go running with her, and literally was more of a joggy sort of amble. It was nothing, and I started doing this little route, and it was only 20 minutes, and I started doing it every day, and sometimes I'd walk it, and sometimes I'd just jog it, and that's what started it off. And then I started getting competitive with myself. And I was like, Pepper, come on, we can We can do it in more than 20 minutes. We can do it in 19 minutes. We could do it in 18 minutes. Yeah. And actually, then I started looking at the Kennycross. That's where I found Dogfit. And I was like, oh my God, this is such a thing. This is brilliant. Got my kit, got sorted, and I've not looked back since.
Oh, fantastic.
It's funny when you said, oh, that's really good news. And funny when you were saying Pepper was the one that sort of led you to Kennycross. I just had visions of her on the laptop looking up Dogfit, filling in the harness consultation form.
Sorry, she might have
and then nudging it towards your direction. But no, that's really lovely. And I guess the pressing question now is, what's the difference between when you were running before on your own and obviously you experienced all the anxiety attacks to running with Pepper? You know, what is, because it sounds, just looking at you and you're just the your reaction about and just talking about it, how expressive and how positive you are about it all, you know, what's been the fundamental difference? I mean, obviously having Pepper in your life, but yeah, how in terms of running and still being competitive?
Yeah, I think, oh gosh, there's so many good things about it. Not only is it, I feel it brilliant because it's so inclusive. Anyone can do it for a start. You've got lots of options. You can run. So if I suddenly become injured, there's that possibility of being able to go on the bike with her. Or there's canny trekking, for example. So I know that it's a really adaptable sport. Because that's the only thing with the running beforehand. When I was running before, it was sort of like, oh, I'm injured. Oh, right, that's it. I don't want to do anything else. Pepper is always there. If I get injured, she's still going to be there. She's still going to want to have a walk and she's still going to want that exercise and she still loves it. And when I see that sort of, that her little ears prick forwards on our Kennycross runs and she just goes for it and she just loves it. And I don't think I could ever take that away from her. Mm. I also think that I also very different because she's, believe it or not, I chat to her. She is like my little mate on the run. I will almost pep talk her. I'm sure if it was the other way around, she'd be pep talking me. But I'm come on, Pepper, let's get up this hill. And I think that has really helped because it's someone to share with. She also kind of keeps an eye on me every now and again. Especially when we're trail running, my ankle will go and I'll make a bit of a stumbling sound or I'll cough or something, and she turns around, she looks at me, and she's sort of like, "Are you all right, Mum?" And it's really, I mean, I have fallen over once. I didn't completely stack it on a couple of tree roots once. I went head over heels. Unfortunately, I was absolutely fine. But she came up and she was in my ear, nuzzling me, licking me, checking I was all right. And I was just like, that's something different. That's something really special. And she's just this incredible bond we've got with each other from this, and something that I didn't think I would ever be able to have with a dog.
It's amazing, that bond that Kennycross brings, and you could just see the joy when you're talking about her and talking about running with her. It's coming like through. It's amazing. But you know, what advice would you give anyone that's listening to this that maybe has been, because I know when you start Kennycrossing, your focus is on the dog, so you're less worried about yourself. And she'd love you, whether you're running or canny trekking. But what advice would you give to someone listening to this that maybe has started to feel anxious about being out and running?
Yeah, there's loads of different things that you can do. I've done so much work on this over the last sort of year that I've been running with Pepper. One thing that is a major sort of revelation to me is that, of course, running produces similar physiological symptoms to a panic attack. So you might, you know, short of breath, high heart rate, nausea and sweating, all very similar. And there's lots of things you can actually do to help deal with this, deal with these feelings. Firstly, I think the main thing is identifying your triggers as well, is understanding why you're feeling like this. So for me, it's, I know it's people passing me. So if people are going past me whilst I'm running, other competitors, I mean, I start thinking, oh, hang on, should I be running faster? Hills, cold air, cold wind, when my heart rate starts getting high as well. And also I do think wind as well, as in wind, as in the blowy kind of wind. Also, if that's coming in your face, that's really quite strenuous. Once you've identified your triggers, it's about actually trying to manage that. If you don't know what your triggers are, then it's just listening to your body, like, hang on, what's making me feel anxious right now? What is it? And sometimes it doesn't come to you. It doesn't come to you straight away. And sometimes it does need some of that self-reflection afterwards to understand, yeah, and time as well, just to be able to look back and say, actually, I was in quite a stress place at that point in time, but I didn't recognize it.
I mean,
trail running is a great way, I think, as well. It's great distraction. You know, you're jumping your tree roots, you're focusing your mind on the present, whether that might be, you know, jumping over a log, fallen trees. Another technique that I use is I've learned to run slow. So I keep my heart rate down. I start to know what heart rate. I say I shouldn't be analyzing my heart rate, but this is for like trying to avoid any kind of panic attacks, is ensuring that I don't go my heart. If I am going to be going my heart rate over 160, for example, that it's because I'm in a race. I don't need to be having that experience when I'm running on a daily basis. So keeping my run slow, if I feel my symptoms coming on, is just slowing down. Walking is absolutely fine. Like, to me before, walking was failure. It was a failure. I didn't ever walk. I'd rather just stop and feel like I was dying. Do you know what I mean? And another thing I really started to experiment with now is mindfulness whilst running. So this could be breathing. So matching my inhales to my strides.
Okay.
So inhale for two, exhale for two, depending on obviously what my pace was or how fast I was going. Or thinking about the cool air hitting the top of the roof of my mouth, and I can feel it going down into my lungs, filling my lungs up, and then coming back out again. It's a really good anchor for that of mindfulness. It's almost slightly, can be quite hypnotic as well. Rhythmic body movements. Now, sometimes, you know, I'll be running along and I'm doing this with my fingers, and I'm just focusing on doing that, especially on the long runs, because we do a lot of long runs together, and I do that quite a lot. So if you ever see me doing that in a race, it's just me.
I'm gonna try that. When we all run, it's like sometimes you think, oh, I can't run, or you know, it's taking your mind away from feeling anxious about what you're doing. So there's some really good tips there. Thank you for sharing. That's brilliant.
Oh, that's okay. Absolutely. Of course, there's talking to Pepper.
When it gets to say that, there's the whole.
I just chat to her. I just go, Pep, this is really hard. You know, it's really difficult. I'm really struggling. And then she might look at me with a big long tongue out, and nug. And sometimes we stop, we have a cuddle, and it's like, that's okay. You know, let's just do this together. So, yeah.
It's so true. I think having the dog is a distraction in itself, because, you know, I love just watching the dogs pull in front. Just find it just funny watching their different, you know, styles of running. And like you said, you're a team, aren't you? You're running as a partnership. So you're in it together. And I think, yes, just using commands, talking to her is also a distraction, but it's also just releases all that serotonin, all that positive sort of feeling as well. So that's really fascinating. And how long have you been using those techniques, would you say?
I would probably say I've only been using them really for the last 6 months, since since I've taken the plunge and entered some races. I think anything, you know, well, I know that when I'm racing, my heart rate's going to be high. And if my heart rate's high, then that's going to start those sort of triggers coming along. So I've had to start working on that. Before it was quite relaxed, just sort of, you know, it was just trundling along. But I think they've really helped. I mean, touch wood, you know, I've had no symptoms, no panic attacks to date. So that shows progress.
Yeah, that's fantastic. So that's really good. So now you can look forward to events and are you mostly doing, are you doing a mixture of Canicross and Douglas runs, or are you sticking to Canicross these days?
I tend to stick to Canicross. I did have my first official Douglas run the other day, and that was a massive achievement. It was really hard. really hard, and I don't think I'll be doing it again in a hurry. It's just I know that I've got that, and I know that I've done it. I've ticked a box. It was, of course, hard work. Don't have anyone pulling me, helping me along.
exactly.
But it's, especially in the evenings at night, I had no other option. I thought, well, I've got to train. So, and you know, I've got to run along the roads, and it's not so great along the roads. So, I definitely don't think I would not have got back into running if it wasn't for Pepper.
No, that's so lovely to hear. I mean, we caught up with you at Run Reigate, and obviously you were competing there, and like you're having a great time. But have you got some other events now in the diary that you're going to run with Pepper?
Yeah, I've got Reading. It's called Reading 10:20 this weekend, Sunday. Yeah. I'm doing. It's either you either do 10 miles or 20 miles, and I'm doing 10. Fortunately for me, and that's a multi-terrain race, and that's by Run Series, I think. And then I also have the Brecon Beacons trail events company, which I'm really looking forward to. They do sell it as a half marathon, but on looking closer, it's 17 miles. So that's going to be interesting. But we've booked a little lodge there. Pepper and I have. We've got a little shepherd's hut, and we're treating it as a bit of a day out. And, you know, I know not many people would want to be doing that on a day out, 17-mile run, but I'm really excited for it. So that's at the start of May, and that's our sort of ultimate thing. That's our ultimate point.
Oh, we can't wait to see the photos from that. I mean, remind everybody what your Instagram handle is, because they might want to check in and see your progress on that.
Yeah, so my Instagram handle is @petalpawsdaisy, and that's petal as in P-E-T-A-L, and then paws, P-A-W-S, and then daisy, which is my name, like flower.
Oh, brilliant.
Yeah, do urge everyone to sort of follow you, because it's you have some lovely posts, and it's just really nice to watch your adventures together. And I think I just wanted to sort of, one of my observations of the way you've been describing your running since you and Pepper found each other, I think it's just about also having fun, isn't it? It's like you might want to race and compete, but it's remembering the real reason you're there. Yeah. You know, it's about you're doing it for each other and having fun and getting fit together. And like you said, even if it's you have to walk or ease back, you're still having the best time together. And that's really what's the most important thing, isn't it?
Absolutely.
I was just going to say, just to close, because we always ask this question, but obviously there'll be people watching and listening to this podcast, and whether they experience anxiety or panic attacks or not, but they're still thinking about getting into Canicross. From your experiences now that you're an experienced canicrosser with Pepper, what would you say to people who are just thinking about sort of giving canicross a go? What would be your advice?
Well, firstly, of course, go to Dogfit and get yourself kitted out. That's one of the main things, of course, because I think having the gear always helps as well, making sure you're knowing you're doing the right thing in the right way and the safest way possible for your dog and for yourself. I think, from my perspective, is start slowly. Just start off slowly with your dog. Start by walking, doing walk runs. Just really start off slowly. Build that stamina up, both for yourself and for your dog. And find your niche as well. So I thought, you know, I didn't think that I'd get back into long distance running, but actually listen to your dog in some ways. And what do they enjoy doing? Do they enjoy the short, faster races or runs, or do they prefer to do longer distance? Or so it's really finding that niche, and I think just fitting in with that really helps. And then explore the events page, of course, on Dogfit. That was probably one of the first thing. I ghost stalked that page for quite a while, just looking through, thinking, oh, if only I could do that race. And actually, do you know what? You can do it. It doesn't matter. Everyone's so friendly. Everyone is so inclusive, and so, do you know, almost friendlier than a normal sort of running race where you've got club runners. It's all a bit serious, but a lot of it's really inclusive and really friendly, which is great. And that's what it should always be about, you and your dog having fun.
And you get to meet loads of other dogs, don't you? So get next dog cuddles, which I love.
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, you've been brilliant, Daisy, and your enthusiasm is infectious, and that just comes across. And yeah, it's that we look forward to following your adventures with Pepper. So yeah, it's amazing.
Lovely.
Thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for sharing your story with us. Thanks so much.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Talk Canicross. We really hope that you've enjoyed it. But don't forget to hit subscribe so we can keep you up to date and let you know when the next episode comes out. Happy canicrossing.